The American Broadcasting Company presents Exploring the Unknown, starring Alan Baxter. This is Andre Baruch inviting you to listen to the most modern program in radio, more truly in step with the times than any other, because it's about the one thing that most affects your life today and tomorrow, science. A new and dramatic use of radio, combining fictional stories with authentic information, drawn from the notebooks of science and industry by the Research Institute of America.
Control, out, 2 points.
Temperature of pile rising. Chain reaction is starting.
Chain reaction. Science taming the power of atomic energy in a story of romance and intrigue featuring the popular star of stage and screen, Alan Baxter, with Charles Irving, the narrator. Centuries have left the sleepy little village of Le Mans in southern France virtually unchanged. But westward, out of the village, across the valley of Saint-Vieux, runs a narrow gravel road. A road that will soon be a shortcut to the 20th century. As twilight falls on a warm spring evening, a horse-drawn cart creaks its way slowly toward the setting sun. The driver of the cart is a middle-aged French peasant. His passenger is a young American engineer.
How much farther, George?
Not far, monsieur. Brunhilde pulls us around the bend. Voila, we are there.
Good. Hey, Brunhilde, giddy up.
Monsieur, she does not understand English. Avant!
Oh, but I'm getting anxious, George. I always get that way the first time I'm about to see a big engineering project.
Whoa, Brunhilde! Whoa!
Where are we stopping?
We are there, monsieur.
What?
There will be 5 francs.
Wait, I told you to take me to the Le Mans Atomic Power Development.
Oui, monsieur, Le Mans Atomic Power Development, this is it.
This? This scene from the Grapes of Wrath?
Your luggage, monsieur?
Well, there's nothing here but a few shacks, a pile of lumber, a broken-down Chevrolet.
5 francs, if you please.
Where's the equipment, the bulldozers, the cranes? Where are the concrete mixers and the engineering offices?
Je sais pas, this is everything. Please, monsieur, you owe me 5 francs.
All right, here's your money.
Merci, monsieur.
Where do I find the moron who's in charge of all this?
Monsieur Quintin, please do not treat me as if I were a moron.
Listen, Frenet, your government promised to have all preliminary construction on this project completed by the time I arrived. What have you been doing here the past 4 months?
We have done our best, monsieur.
Your best? Don't make me laugh. Why, in the United States, I could have had the plant built and operating in 4 months with one arm tied behind my back.
Present-day France is not the United States.
You bet it's not. At the rate you get things done over here, it's a wonder you're not still living in caves.
Monsieur Quintin, try to understand. In your country, atomic power means only more electricity to run your radios and refrigerators. It is different here. France is starving for lack of power. We have not enough coal, not enough electricity. Many of our people are cold. Most of them are hungry.
All the more reason, Frenet, why you should have been on schedule.
Do you think we do not wish to be on schedule? Why, monsieur, the very survival of France depends on this plant. And others like it to come.
Now, look, Frenet.
But, monsieur, there are people who do not wish France to survive. Or rather, they are willing to see France die before letting your country's influence spread in Europe. These factions will go to any lengths to interfere with a project financed by the United States.
Ah, political rubbish.
Indeed. Monsieur, do you have a gun?
A gun?
I will see that you get one. You will need it here.
Very dramatic, Frenet. But you needn't bother because I'm not staying.
Not staying?
No. I left a highly responsible research job to come here and operate a completed plant.
Oh, but, monsieur, you mustn't leave. You could be of greatest help to us.
I'll be leaving in the morning. Meanwhile, please show me where I'm to stay tonight. Where's that lamp? Here. Now, matches. Where are the matches? Renee? Is that you, Frenet? Who's in this room? Where are those matches? Here we are. Now, whoever you are... George.
Oui, monsieur.
What's the gun for?
For you.
Now, wait a minute, chum.
France does not need you, monsieur.
Why, you...
Put down the lamp! Stop!
Renee.
Good morning.
Oh, who are you?
I am Francine. I was to have been your secretary, but Monsieur Frenet says you are leaving.
That's what he thinks.
Oh?
I don't like to be shot at. What's this sling doing on my arm?
The doctor. You were asleep.
Oh, that's just fine. Now I will build this project with one arm. Help me up, Francine.
No, monsieur. You are in no danger, but the doctor says you are to rest for a few days.
Yeah, maybe he's right.
I will take care of you.
Good morning. He's awake?
Oui, monsieur. And he is going to stay with us. He is not leaving.
Oh, excellent. Monsieur, I'm so happy.
Save it for me. Did you catch that cart driver?
No, monsieur. He has disappeared from Le Mans.
You've got to get him. He's a menace to all of us.
George is only a pawn, monsieur. They have many Georges.
They? Who are they?
Their motto is France for Frenchmen, although many of them are not French. We know very little of their organization. But it is they who have interfered with this project.
By interference, you mean bullets, huh?
Oui. So you see, monsieur, it matters little whether we catch George. The man who makes use of George, he is the one to be feared.
Come in, George.
Ah, Monsieur Kuttner, I'm so happy you have returned. They're looking for me everywhere.
I know. Come here, George. What did I tell you before I went away, eh, George? Don't you remember? I told you to do nothing. Nothing until I returned.
Oui, Monsieur Kuttner, please, Monsieur, please.
Hereafter, you would obey my orders. Understand?
Certainement. I only thought if I could get rid of the American engineers.
Yes, and what good would that do? They would only send someone else.
It would mean another delay, Monsieur Kuttner.
There has been a change of plans, George. The committee does not wish them delayed further. On the contrary, we wish them now to go ahead. When they have poured millions of precious American dollars into their project, then we shall strike.
But if we wait, they will have guards and protection. It will be too difficult.
Do not worry, George. We shall know every move they make and be one step ahead of them always.
But how, monsieur?
I have arranged it. There's nothing to worry about. Let them build. Let them build!
Build. With all his energy, Richard Kendall throws himself into building a plant that will transform the miracle of atomic energy into light, heat and power for a starving country. Gigantic bulldozers rip up the ground, level the hills. Huge concrete mixers chew up cement, sand and gravel and spew their gritty cud into foundations and walls. Tall cranes swing the stiff steel girders high in air, spinning a spidery outline of massive buildings. Weeks, months go by, and Richard Kendall almost forgets the sinister beginning of his self-appointed job. Now the very heart of the plant begins to take form, the atomic pile itself. In a large building, a group of men take long, heavy bars of graphite and stack them up in a solid square that mounts steadily toward the ceiling.
One could make many pencils with so much carbon.
You, watch what you're doing with that bar. It's not carbon, it's the purest graphite we can lay our hands on.
The stack of bars grows into a great cube of pure graphite, large as a room. Extending through the cube are many holes into which are now inserted long, heavy rods.
Monsieur Kendall, I do not want to handle this rod. It is uranium.
Don't be afraid. It won't hurt you. It's only a piece of dead mineral. Until the pile brings it to life.
Until the pile brings it to life. The pile is the atomic pile. Graphite and uranium laced together in a special pattern. A combination that begins the chain reaction of atomic energy.
Well, Francine, the Le Mans atomic power development is beginning to look like something.
Oui, Monsieur Kendall.
Oh, don't call me Monsieur Kendall.
Oui, Richard.
That's better. Much better.
Monsieur Kendall.
Yes?
Pardon, Monsieur, Madame, but they are laying concrete walls 5 feet thick. Is there a reason for so much concrete?
Very good reason.
But 5 feet, Monsieur.
Radiation, brother. Radiation.
Radiation. The deadliest byproduct of atomic fission. Out of the chain reaction comes not only heat and power, but also invisible penetrating rays with the power to sicken and kill. To approach a naked pile in operation would mean living death.
More concrete!
And so the fierce atomic pile is buried deep within protective walls of artificial stone. Now the plant nears completion. Inside the huge buildings, preparations are made for installing steam generators, turbines, and dynamos. The last links in the chain between atomic heat and the production of electric power.
But first, Frenet, get the cadmium rods for the control mechanism.
Oui.
I mean, get them at once. We must be able to control this stuff.
Oui, monsieur. I'll go myself. Immediately.
I thought Monsieur Frenet was here.
Francine, wait. You've been avoiding me.
Richard, I do not wish to talk about it anymore.
Oh, we've got to talk about it. You said you loved me.
But I have also told you I do not wish it to go on.
But you haven't told me why.
There are reasons.
Oh, you love me. What reasons can there be?
Believe me, Richard.
Forget it.
No.
I love you.
No, please. Please, don't. Don't. There are reasons.
Sit down, my dear. Leave us, George.
Oui, Monsieur Cutler.
Eric, I am sick of this business. I don't
want to... Give me the blueprints, Francine. Give them to me.
These are the last, Eric. Don't let me do it anymore, please.
Quiet. You should feel privileged to serve France.
But she's not serving France, sir.
You will do what I say. You are my wife, Francine.
That means nothing to me. That is all over.
Stop sniffling. You will do what I say, because if you do not, I will provide the French collaborationist courts with evidence that you have been a traitor to France. They will hang you. Hang you.
No, no, Eric. No, you forced me to do those things. I did not want to.
You are frightened. That is good. Now listen. You will return these blueprints before they are missed. You will bring me instead drawing 17K.
17K? That is the most guarded drawing of the project.
I must have it.
I cannot. I won't.
Get it, Francine, or I go to the court. Well?
Yes, Eric.
Listening to Chain Reaction, starring Alan Baxter on Exploring the Unknown, radio's award-winning science program, combining fictional stories with authentic information, brought to you by the American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations. And now, Act Two of Chain Reaction, starring Alan Baxter as Richard Kendall on Exploring the Unknown.
Renee, now look at this drawing, number 17K.
Oui, monsieur.
See, the graphite blocks are embedded with uranium. The whole thing is enclosed by concrete shielding. That's the atomic pile.
Oui.
But, as it stands, it's a monster.
Pardon me, what?
Do you know what would happen if that chain reaction got out of hand, Renee?
I'm not certain.
The pile would get hotter and hotter. The concrete shield would melt, and we would be showered with deadly radiation.
So, we control it, no?
That's right. So we use the cadmium to take the neutrons away from the uranium atoms. When this cadmium rod is in, the atomic reaction will stop.
Oui, monsieur.
Point is, that rod must move in and out automatically. It must be equipped with a control device and a safety switch. For those devices, our atomic pile will be safer than a steam power plant.
You have made it very clear, monsieur.
I've gone all over this, Rene, because I want you to supervise the installation of the safety switch. Do you think you can do it?
I will do it, monsieur.
Good. Study this drawing, 17K, carefully first.
Oui.
I'll need this copy. You get the duplicate out of the file room.
File room?
Yeah. What's the matter?
But the duplicate is not in the file room.
Not in the file room?
No, monsieur. 15 minutes ago, it was not there.
How about Francine? Maybe she...
Oh, she was not there either. I thought you had it.
Come on. We'd better look into this at once.
Bichotte, what is the matter?
Drawing 17K, duplicate. Frenet says it's missing.
Missing?
That is right.
Francine, no one but you could have taken that drawing.
Please, Richard, I do not understand. Drawing 17K is not missing. I have it. Here, look for yourself.
Hmm. Well, this is it, all right.
What is this all about?
Nothing, Francine. Frenet must have made a mistake.
Possibly, monsieur. Possibly not.
Blueprints. Blueprints. When do we get some action?
I told you to keep quiet, Georges. I am thinking.
Thinking that.
Eric.
What are you doing here, Francine? I am busy.
Eric, they are getting suspicious, Monsieur Frenet.
The devil with Monsieur Frenet.
But, Eric, I did not get 17K back to the file in time.
Quiet. Yes.
Let me go, Eric. He will catch me. I won't be any more
use
to you.
That's it.
Please.
Yes, please. I've got it. I know what we are going to do.
What, Monsieur?
I will tell you. It is so ingenious.
Go on, Monsieur.
On the blueprint, George, you see these rods. They control the rate of the atomic reactions. I said to myself, if I could get them out far enough. But how? How? Because there's a safety switch. How could I short-circuit that safety switch? And I have figured a way. I know how to do it.
So, Monsieur, what is supposed to happen when you do it?
That is it, George. What will happen? Listen. The atomic reaction will speed up. Faster and faster it will go. More and more radiation it will give off. Concrete shields will be ineffective against it. The project will become a seething focus of deadly gamma rays. No man would dare to approach it. It will be a dreaded inferno for years to come. Always to remind the Americans they are not wanted in Europe.
Yes, Monsieur Gardner, it is wonderful. Wonderful!
No, it is horrible. You cannot do it.
1 week, and the plant will be finished, Francine. Then you shall see whether I can do it.
It is a glorious day, Monsieur Condal, a glorious day.
Yes, Mayor.
Yes, and tonight at 9 o'clock, you will inaugurate the Le Mans Atomic Power Development. In the village, we will have an electric light festival to celebrate the occasion. Old and young alike will dance like moths around the electric light bulbs. And at the very height of the festival, Monsieur Condal, I am going to make a speech.
Indeed, Mayor.
Yes, I am going to tell my people all about the atomic energy and how it becomes electricity. I am going to tell my people many pertinent facts about the Le Mans Atomic Power Plant.
Oh, that's just fine, Mayor.
Yes, but there is just one thing, Monsieur Condal.
What's that?
Somebody has got to tell me first.
You were looking at an atomic pile.
Wonderful, Monsieur.
A pile creates heat. It's a big atomic furnace.
Atomic furnace. That is splendid.
The furnace heats water, and the steam is used to drive a turbine. The turbine drives a dynamo. The dynamo produces the electricity. That's it.
Go on, Monsieur. I've got it in my notes.
Hmm. Well, you wanted some pertinent facts.
Yes.
The sum and substance of the plant is this. The fuel for the pile is a few hundred pounds of uranium.
Formidable.
That amount of fuel will supply 75,000 kilowatts of power for 20 years.
20 years?
That's enough to keep a million ordinary light bulbs burning brightly for the same period.
Vraiment?
The equivalent of several million tons of coal. You get that?
Oh, mais oui. I'll put that in my notes.
Well, that about covers everything.
Well, thank you, Monsieur Condal. It has been fascinating. Fascinating.
Well, I hope I've told you what you wanted to know, Mayor.
Yes. To be frank, Monsieur Condal, I have not understood it, but what a speech it will make tonight.
Well, Francine Georges, this is our day, eh?
What about the key, Monsieur Kuttner? What about the key?
Yes, Georges. Francine, we will need the control key. You will get it for us, yes?
Yes, please. Do not make
You will get the key.
What time, monsieur? When do we strike?
9 o'clock. They plan to start the atomic reaction. 8 o'clock. We start it for them.
I will personally throw the switch.
No, Georges. That is Francine's privilege. She has earned it.
No, I won't do it.
You will.
No, it is monstrous. You cannot make me.
Now, will you do it?
Yes.
Francine, what were you doing in my desk?
Nothing, Richard, nothing.
What were you doing? Answer me.
Please, Richard, I must go.
You took something from my desk. You have it in your hand. What is it?
Richard, let me go. If you love me, let me go.
Give it to me. Give it to me?
No.
So, the control key. Ferney was right about you. Why did you do it, Francine?
I am glad you have found out, Richard. I will tell you everything. But first, you must catch them.
Who?
Eric Kufner and Georges. They will do anything to destroy the project. You have got to stop them.
Keep your head down, Georges. 6 o'clock, they change the guard. Then we can get through the gate.
I do not understand, Monsieur Kufner. I thought the girl was to do it.
Do not be a fool. I would not trust her. I only wanted to misinform her.
But what about the key? We do not have it.
We do not need it. I did not go to Göttingen for nothing. Ah, they are changing the guard. You know what to do?
Oui, monsieur.
Then good luck. We meet in the control booth.
George, here, Monsieur Kufner.
The guard.
I had to kill him. The safety switch?
It is short-circuited. Quick now. Help me break this lock.
What is that ticking noise?
The Geiger counter. It measures stray radiation in the room.
That does it.
Now I shall throw the switch.
There. We have done it.
This way for your life.
No, someone is coming. This way.
Hurry.
Which way?
This way. Hurry.
There is no door here.
Over here.
No door. We must go out the way we came in.
Hurry. We are going to die here.
It is stuck. I can't get it open.
You must push it. Together we push. Now, ready.
It will not open. What are we going to do?
I do not know. We've got to get out of here.
Help.
Where are the buildings? Keep back. Everybody back.
Something must be done, Michel.
Nothing can be done, Francine. You did your work too well.
It's no use, monsieur. The safety switch has been short-circuited.
Well, that's that, René.
Oui. Unless someone could get to the control booth, he could reinsert the cadmium rod, stop the reaction.
Yes, but you know what that could mean.
Yes, monsieur. Death.
Not just death. Death by radiation.
Oui, but I have already made up my mind, monsieur. I've come only to say that
Wait.
I'm going...
Where's Francine?
She was here a moment ago.
Look, there.
I see her. She's going into the building.
She can't do that. Francine!
Hello, Monsieur Richard.
Hello, Franny.
I have just come from the village. Eric Kufner and Georges died this morning. Francine, is she...
No, some miracle keeps her alive.
Mon Dieu, it is a miracle. Do you think she might...
I don't know. The doctor's with her now. Doctor, how is she?
Monsieur, I have retraced her steps through the building. By accident, it seems she chose the path where the shielding is greatest and the radiation least intense. That explains why she is still alive.
But is she a chance? Do you think she might...
Monsieur, there are still many mysteries about radiation sickness. Hiroshima witnessed many inexplicable recoveries. According to my diagnosis, she should be getting worse. Instead, she is getting better.
You think she...
She is getting better. Why should she not keep getting better, hmm?
May I go in?
Certainement.
Francine?
Richard.
Oh, darling.
It's the clear night, Richard.
Yes?
Turn off the light. Thank you. Now, carry me to the window, Richard. I wish to look out.
But Francine, I could...
Please.
All right.
What are you looking for?
There it is. I can see it.
What do you see?
The glow of electric lights in Le Mans. My village, Richard. You have brought electricity to my village.
Alan Baxter for a grand performance. And now from the Research Institute of America, Mr. Leo M. Chern.
We are now in the third year of the atomic era. In a dozen or more university, government, and industrial laboratories, scientists and engineers are now developing methods of directing atomic energy into productive channels. In our drama tonight, we heard how a combination of uranium and graphite, the atomic pile, forms an atomic furnace which creates a controlled flow of heat that can be used to heat water for steam to generate electricity. The same heat can be used for other industrial purposes. Phil Swain, editor of the McGraw-Hill publication Power, is a doctor of engineering with a solid background in physics, mathematics, and industry. Dr. Swain observed the atom bomb test at Bikini last summer. He has studied the probable impact of atomic fission on his own field, the generation of mechanical and electric power. Dr. Swain, do you agree with tonight's story that electric power from atom splitting will someday become an important fact?
I most certainly do, Mr. Chern.
How long do you think it will be before the major part of America's electric power will come from atomic fission?
My guess is it will be at least 20 years, perhaps much longer, before as much as 50% of our electric power comes from split atoms. On the other hand, the laboratory type of atomic power plant is right around the corner, only 2 or 3 years off. Getting it on a paying basis will take another 8 or 10 years. Then must follow many more years of nip-and-tuck competition with plants fired by coal and oil. Remember that atomic energy at best can save only the coal or oil, which now constitutes less than 1/5 of the cost of delivered cost of power.
Taking the shorter view, Dr. Swain, say the next 5 or 10 years, what will be the most important results of atomic fission?
I put the atomic bomb and the fear of it first in importance as a negative benefit. The greatest immediate positive benefits will come from the wide use of radioactive tracer atoms to speed scientific research, particularly in medicine. Next, I would list the general speeding up of atomic knowledge. And least important in the near future, but not in the distant future, is atomic power. But looking ahead 50 or 100 years, I am convinced that the application of science to the problems of atomic energy will change the very face of the Earth in ways that we cannot now foresee.
That is truly exploring the unknown. Thank you, Dr. Swain.
This is Andre Baruch again. Next week, the popular and talented star of stage and screen, Hugh Marlowe, will be featured in an exciting melodrama, The Strongest Link. Scientists exploring the unknown of human motives. Alan Baxter was supported in tonight's ABC presentation by Gregory Morton as Eric Kuffner, Anna Karen as Francine, Wendell Holmes as George, and Melville Ruick as Frenay, Charles Irving the narrator. Original music composed and conducted by Ralph Norman. Script by Allison Burke. Be sure to listen next week to The Strongest Link from the Notebooks of Science and Industry by the Research Institute of America, starring Hugh Marlowe. Exploring the Unknown is produced by Sherman H. Dreyer Productions.
Now here's a special program note. The Nose, Jimmy Durante, drops in to visit Luella Parsons tonight. Don't miss Luella Parsons, Hollywood's first lady of the air, interviewing Durante, the well-dressed man, tonight. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.